All right.
We have a book. It's a great book. It has 66 books inside the book. It's an amazing book. Have you ever wanted to write a book? Anyone here wanted to write a book? Yep, a couple of people wanted to write books. I know a few people who've written books, and I think, oh, wow, how cool is that? You see, if you had to come to me and say, Donnie, if you weren't a pastor at Quite a Life Church, what would you do? I've got two answers for you. One would be a teacher in school. I was in RI Friday afternoon with my grade fives. It was such an awesome class. I came out of there pumped. I was ready to take on Melbourne Storm by myself. I was so excited about those kids and their answers and talking about sin and repentance. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I said those two words in a state school, and these kids were getting the hang of what sin and repentance was. And it was fantastic. I was so excited. I loved that. Or I'd be an author. Sometimes when I have bad days, which are very few, I come home and I say to my wife, I'm going up the shack. I'm going to start writing my book. I've had enough. That's it. People, no more people. I'm going to sit up there with my books and I'm going to write a novel. This has been a dream I've had for a long, long time. You see this piece of paper? See how old that piece of paper is? I found this. Mums keep amazing stuff. This is a book title that I started to write when I was a young man. It's called The Sons of God. Now, would you buy that book just on the title alone? That's a good book title. Okay, don't encourage me. Fine. It's called The Sons of God. It comes in five parts. All good books have many parts. The first part is in the beginning, chapter 1. Chapter 2, the battle. Chapter 3, the fall. Part 2, the mighty men are born. Chapter 5, corruption and greed. Chapter 6, the sword stands alone. Chapter 7, the defeat. Part 3, God weeps. Chapter 9, the plan. Chapter 10, Noah. Chapter 11, the animal. Anyone read this book? I read that last night as I was fixing up some stuff. And I'm going, hold on a second. I was going to be a plagiarist. Can you order it, pre-order it? And then at the bottom it says, this book will be written based on chapters 6 to 9 of the book of Genesis. I'm thinking, based on? Based on? My goodness. All right, Trish, would you like to come and do a Bible reading for us?
Verse 29. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Just a short little verses from the book of John, but it spells out clearly why John wrote what he wrote, doesn't it? Spells it very clearly. I've got three books here, and I'm going to just use them as an example. This is a book called In God We Trust. In God They Trust. It's a book about the faith and religious lives of every prime minister up to Julia Gillard and where God fitted in. It's a very interesting read. Very interesting. And you find out lots of little things. Like once upon a time back in about 1900s, 1920, 1930, when the Labor Party was developed, that they had three things. I can't remember the third thing. I tried to find it, but the three things you needed to be in the Labor Party, certainly as the Prime Minister, you needed to be part of the trade unions, and you needed to be a Catholic, a strong Catholic. In fact, part of what distorted the Labor Party was that the Labor Party brought in that you had to vote on party lines, and a lot of strong Catholics went, no, God first, Labor second. And so they left the Labor Party because they had to part on party lines. That's an interesting book. In God They Trust. Very interesting. Not my book, so I can't give it away. Dave Gratian, I will give it back to you soon. Second book, for those that love their history, Dave Gratian gave me this one for a Christmas or a birthday. It's called Gert. What a great title for a book, isn't it? Gert. You know what Gert is, Bruce? You don't know what Gert is? You sing the song.
Oh, yeah.
Gert by sea.
Yeah.
Surrounded.
I thought it was an abbreviation.
No. Girt. No. It's girt. Girt by sea. It's an interesting word, isn't it? I'm really keen to watch a TV show where the police come and they surround the bank and they go, "Come out, we've got you girt." Because that's what it means. We've got you surrounded. This is a book on Australian history. Now, what he's trying to do is make you laugh when you read history. He's very, very successful. Amazing book on Australian history. There's a lot of stuff in here that didn't make real Australian history books. You read about other people that, the guy who was the first brewer of beer in Australia. His name is, of course... No. James Squires, 150 lashes. True story for those that don't know anything about beer. I'm very glad none of you do. All right, this book. Anyone know this book? Heavenly Man. You know what this book's about? No. This book is about making a white class, middle class guy in Australia feel incredibly convicted about his walk with God, because this guy says he's a follower of Jesus and what he does and how he does it is nothing like I do it. He's like here and I'm like China, you know, down there somewhere. Just amazing book. I couldn't read it without having to repent of my sin every time I'd read a chapter. Just an amazing book. A man sold out for Jesus in his nation, which, tell you what, has a lot more persecution than we cop here. Amazing story. Incredible testimony. Amazing book. All right, so these guys wrote those books. John wrote this book. Now, this is what he says in verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. The fact is that Jesus did many amazing things. John records 7 of them in his gospel. 7. In the 4 gospels, there's recorded 35. 35 in the 4 gospels. John records only 7. Fact. John only records 7. That's just the way it is. Fact. There were many more other miraculous things that Jesus did other than the 35 recorded in the 4 Gospels. Is that true? I'm telling you it's fact so you can believe me. Or, if you don't believe me, turn your Bibles over one page and read the very last verse in the book of John. It says this, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Does that tell you that there was more than 35 miracles? Does that tell you there was more than 35 amazing things that Jesus did? Does that tell you that Jesus said and taught a lot of stuff that's not recorded in those 4 Gospels? Yes, it does. Jesus was an incredible, amazing man. And we've only got a snippet. We've only got the tip of the iceberg of what he did on time on earth. And John records only 7. 7. For those of you that read the newsletter, you know what 7 I'm talking about. The 7 miracles in the book of John. John chapter 2 turns water into wine. John chapter 4, healing the royal official's son. John chapter 5, healing the lame man at the pool of Bethsaida. John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000. John chapter 6 again, walking on the water. John chapter 9, sight restored to the blind man. John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, you know those 7 amazing miracles? They're pretty good miracles, aren't they? If you read that in the book of John, you'd go, wow, that's incredible. I mean, water into wine. That's pretty cool. That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Do you know one time when we were doing the parking over here, I got caught with 7 cases of beer? Not that I got caught with them trying to get them out, but at the football game, they ran out of beer and we'd finished with the parking. And I said to the guys, I'll help whatever you can. And so they said, oh, will you help transport beer from here over to the VIP center? No worries. So they gave me a trolley full of 7 cases of beer and I was traveling across from there to the VIP room and I bumped into people that I knew. You think that's funny, Prue? I bumped into people that I knew and they said, well, there's something you don't see every day. A Baptist pastor wheeling 7 cartons of beer across to the football VIP center. I said, 7 cartons of beer? There were 7 bottled waters when I left. Now, I'm telling you, folk, If that was true, I'd be writing about it everywhere, and I'd say to you, write this down in your journals. Our pastor turned water into beer at the football game. Write it down. The disciples who were there at this event when Jesus turned water into wine, and it wasn't just a little bit of wine, it was a lot of wine. Guess how many of them wrote about it in their Gospels? One. Only one wrote about it. John wrote about it in his. So it's something significant to John. Next, go along. The healing of the royal official son. John only records that one. He's the only one that does. The healing of the lame man at Bethsaida. He's the only one that records that one. And the feeding of the 5,000, that must have been pretty special because all four say that one in their Gospels. Then the walking on the water, that was pretty significant. Three of the Gospels talk about that one. Now the other one, the sight restored. Sight restored. In this situation, in this specific one, it's John's the only one that records this one with the things that surrounded it. And raising Lazarus from the dead. How many Gospels share that story? Paul's on my case. He's got it. One. John is the only one who writes about Lazarus raised from the dead. The book of Luke says, and Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. That's all it mentions. Did anything happen on the way to Jerusalem? Nah. Oh, yeah, Lazarus was raised from the dead, but nah. Amazing. John writes it up big time. And in fact, if you listen to my sermon last week, if anyone did, one of the reasons Lazarus was in trouble was because he was raised from the dead. And John writes about it. Here we have a scenario that John writes about this and no one else does. What's going on? Now, folks, again, Donnie turns water into beer, write it in your journal. If Donnie is 1 kilometre away from the hospital and someone gets raised from the dead in the hospital, I want you to write down, our pastor was 1 kilometre away when that event happened. I want it written down. You hear what I'm saying? These are great things that took place. These are significant things that people need to hear about. We should be shouting them from the rooftops. Now, I thought from my Bible college days that Jesus rose 4 people from the dead. Last night, I could only find 3 in the Gospels. But I did find another place when John the Baptist sent his disciples to say, Jesus, are you the right one? And Jesus responds with, dump, 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 and the dead are raised. So there are at least 3 recorded resurrections, raising from the dead. But Jesus and the disciples may have raised more people from the dead. May have. We don't know. Wait till we get to heaven and have a look at the big screen. Oh, look. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. There's 400 raised in one. Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Jesus did amazing, amazing things. So, John talks about 5 miraculous signs that take place in the Gospels. But he's the only one that records those 5. He says 7, but he only records 5 all by himself. The others record the other 2. Why? What's John doing? What's his plan? Does he have a plan when he sat down to write this book? I had a plan when I sat down to write my book to become rich, famous, and sell lots of books and be known throughout the world. John's plan was not so. We are beautifully told in verse 31 what John's plan was. He says this, but these things are written that you may believe. That you may believe. That you may believe. Belief is so important to the book of John. That we may get hold of and say, yes, I believe. I believe. My faith is real. It's not wishy-washy. I will stand and I will say, I believe. And he goes further. And he says, it breaks it down. He says, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Redeemer, the Risen One. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know the Jesus that is the Christ? He is your Savior. He's your Messiah. He's your personal Redeemer. I have been redeemed. I have been set free. The ransom has been paid for my life. Do you know this Jesus? Do you believe in this Jesus? Has he truly set you free? For the word says he has. If we can all say, yeah, I know my Redeemer, then that's awesome. If you're not sure, then please pray that through. Come and talk to any of come and talk to the staff, myself and Brendan, or come and talk to the leadership team, or sit and talk to someone nearby you and say, I want to know Jesus, my Savior. I want to know my Messiah. I want to know the one that has set me free, that has ransomed me, redeemed me. I want to believe wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. And the second bit, the Son of God, that we might believe he is the Son of God. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just someone who walked the earth and did some good, amazing things. He was indeed the Son of God, that we might believe. And that believing may have an effect on our lives. And that by believing, that we might have life in his name. Now, when you go into the commentaries, the word life there says life. You look it up in the Greek, it just says life. But all the commentary writers say, obviously, that is referring to eternal life. But as you drill down into it, it's also about life here and now, isn't it? That when we walk with Jesus, we have purpose, we have a plan, we have life as we know it. Way more than anyone else could ever get it, because we have Jesus. We believe in the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, who comes to bring life into our very beings, comes to bring transformation, comes to bring renewal, comes to bring life in our lives. We are alive because of Jesus. I know for a fact I'm alive because of Jesus. I've done some crazy things in my life, and I can only see God's hands all over it, his fingerprints all over it. We believe. We walk by faith. We live by faith. That means there's a difference in our lives. That means we've got some other form going over our lives. We do not belong to the world. We belong to the kingdom of God. We're something different. And you guys prayed that something different when we prayed for our world, when we prayed for our nation, when we prayed for Sri Lanka, when we prayed for Mozambique and Malawi. You guys all knew that you were part of something deeper, bigger, and more amazing than what this world has to offer. It's tricky in these days because the world is invading the church here in Australia. There's a challenge that goes on there. And we need to stand and go by what Jesus says. We need to know the Messiah. We need to know the Son of God. We need to believe in the Messiah and the Son of God. And know him working in and through our lives, that we might believe and have life and have it in his name. In no other name, but in his name. In his name. Trick question for you here. The Titanic sank because of what? Anyone? It hit an iceberg. It hit an iceberg. The front of the ship was too weak. We're going into the side ripped open. Okay, so you rip open the side, yeah?
Because of greed, they shortcut the safety issues.
Okay, because of greed, they shortcut the safety issues. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Bad planning.
Bad planning. All right. Okay, there's a lot of really good answers there. But I'm a very basic man. 1 + 1 = 2. The Titanic sank because it was full of water. That's why it went down. Isn't it? If it didn't fill up with water, it wouldn't have sank. If it ripped open, if they were greedy, if they hit an iceberg, if the water hadn't come in, that wouldn't have sunk. If the world keeps coming into the church, if we're too greedy, if we didn't build it properly, we can sink because of those things, but because there's too much world in the church, like there's too much water in the Titanic. Jesus is to be our focus. These seven miracles are amazing. John writes these seven miracles. He writes it all up and everything that's around it, that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, our life would mean something and be incredible, because his name is to be glorified. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Such a little verse as this, and yet such an amazing change can be in us. Father, I thank you for the 7 miraculous signs that John talks about. I thank you for the way that he wrote them. Such incredible things. That changing water into wine is just, how do you do that? Feeding 5,000, how do you do that? Making a crippled man walk again. Making a blind person see. Walking on water, how do you do that? Raising a dead man who'd been dead for 3 days. Up. Oh Lord, how do you do that? Father, the God that did all those things, of those 7 miraculous things, is the same God. You are the same God who wants to work in us. You want to help us to believe that this is Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And you want to impact our lives. You want to rise us up. You want us to thrive, not just survive. You want us to live above and not below. Help us, Lord God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. May we truly believe. May we not just give assent to the stories and say, yep, they're great stories. Yep, this is great detail. Yep, this is cool. But let us say, I believe in a God who can turn water into wine. I believe in a God who can walk on the water. I believe in a God that raises the dead. I believe in a God that can work in my life, can bring healing in my life, can raise me up from wherever I am, can make my eyes see. Can give me strength. This is the God we serve. This is the God we believe in. Lord, may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.